And somebody just asked me, can I talk a little bit about how to empty your minds during the meditation? And it's a common idea that when you sort of meditate, you empty your mind but and blank out. But remember, we're only emptying our mind of some things, and we're keeping other things very clearly there. And one of the most important things which we keep in meditation, which we never empty out, is our awareness, our mindfulness, our clarity of mind. Which is what really distinguishes meditation from hypnosis or trance. Because in meditation, no matter how deep you go, you're always fully aware. In fact, the deeper you go, the more powerful and more precise is your awareness. Your awareness is just simply the ability to see, perceive, to know what's going on. In the same way that your eyes can see the shapes when your eyes are open. In the dark, you can't see very much. In the bright sunlight, you can see a lot. You can see more detail. In the same way that mindfulness has these different levels of penetration. And part of the process of meditation is to reinforce that mindfulness through the power of stillness until it gets so precise and so strong. However, that it's good that we maintain the mindfulness there. We empty the mind of other things. And the reason is because you want to be very light, very clear. And it's one of the old similes which I have given in meditation. I mentioned it briefly yesterday night, but not in the same context. It's the context of a balloon, like a hot air balloon. Yesterday, or rather yesterday evening, I was saying that a person in a hot air balloon will never feel the wind. Even though on the ground the wind is blowing from the west or the east or wherever, up in a hot air balloon, because you're going fully with the wind, there's no resistance to the wind because you're not tied down or anchored anywhere. It means in that hot air balloon you never feel any wind at all. It's absolutely still. So that's an interesting idea, but the idea now is in able to go high, we have to empty out that balloon to try and make it weightless. Because the more ballast is the sandbags and other weight you put in the basket when you start your ascent. To go high, you have to throw more and more things out. And that idea of emptying out is a very good simile for going deeper into the meditation. As you empty out the weights and surplus stuff from the basket of a hot air balloon, you go higher. When you empty out from the mind, the useless stuff, the unneeded attachments, then we can actually go higher and higher in meditation. So, what are those useless attachments we want to sort of throw away? And as every week I say, we start to empty out progressively. And to empty out the coarse things first of all, and then the less coarse things until we empty out the refined things. So in meditation, you think, what is it you don't really need in meditation? What's superfluous to requirements? And you look at that in meditation. First of all, you have to look after your body to make sure it's comfortable. But after a while, you know, it's superfluous to your requirements. In meditation, you put the body down on a seat, on a chair, on a bench, on a cushion. You've made sure it's reasonably comfortable, and then you let it go. It's almost like you empty your body out. And when you contemplate the nature of a person's body, how much time it takes of your attention throughout the day, scratching, eating, moving, going to the toilet, whatever. This body takes a huge amount of a person's time, and that's when you're healthy, let alone when you're sick. And it takes 90, 95% of your time looking after this body, either directly or indirectly. So it's a wonderful thing when you sit down in meditation in a reasonably comfortable position to say, now I can empty this out. It's no longer my concern. And a good simile which helps you let go of the body to empty it out of your mind, it's almost like emptying it out of your to-do tray, is a simile of parking your car outside. Because when you come here, many of you come in a vehicle, you park your car, and what do? Obviously, you put it in the park mode, put the handbrake on, you get out, you lock the door. And once you lock the door, the alarm is activated, and you're quite satisfied, you can leave your car out there in the car park and it's going to be there quite safe, quite sound, as you left it when you finished the meditation. You can lock it up and let it go. So you empty it out of your to-do basket. So this is how we let go of our body. We've got to make sure it's secure, first of all, sitting down, comfortable, well set up, and then we can lock it up, let it go, and enjoy some quiet meditation. That's the first thing we empty out, the concern for our body. And the next emptying we do is emptying out this thing we call time. Because if you again reflect on the sort of things which occupy and fill up your mind, you know, what in this simile of the bloom, what is the basket in which, you know, you're standing, which you have all this stuff in? That's why I call many people basket cases. Because you've got a mind full of all sorts of rubbish. We want to sort of start throwing some of that out. And you look at some of the stuff which we keep in our mind, in our basket. And it is really superfluous. Why do we always have to keep thinking about what happened in the past? Why do we always have to keep planning for what's going to happen next in the future? And worrying about these things. Now, why can't we just let these things go? And so we deliberately do that. We imagine that our basket is weighed down because of our past history and because of our fears of the future. And the only way to rise high spiritually, as well as, you know, literally, if you're in a balloon, is to throw out all that unnecessary baggage. So we literally toss it out so we can go higher. We empty our mind of the past and the future. Now, it's important you don't empty your mind of the present moment, because that's where mindfulness lives. You keep that, you preserve that awareness of what's happening right now. And then you empty your mind of all this stupid thinking. After a while, when you've done the past and future, and you really empty that out, and you're in this present moment, then you start to see the one thing which is burdening you even more is these, you know, thoughts, descriptions, words, and that is a huge burden. And it's wonderful that when people become silent and quiet, these days, teaching meditation to people who haven't got much time, so often when they ask about, I think there's people coming for the first time. Hi, Lynn. Thank you. When you ask about what does it really mean to be silent, so often that I tell these new meditators how they just to listen when I speak in a way when there are many pauses between my words. Because in those spaces between the words, you experience silence. And it's quite amazing just how many people, when I speak like that and they pay attention to what's going on between their ears, they actually experience that silence, maybe for the first time, they start recognizing it and realize this is wonderful. This is like a almost like a burdenless state of mind. They have emptied their mind of the need to describe, to note down, to give a name to all the phenomena which they experience. They are empty. So this next thing we do is empty the mind out of this inner speech. We go more to the silence. And that silence is a state of emptiness. It's empty from all these words. And we go deeper than that into the emptying our mind, what we call diversity. Sometimes it's like you have an office, and on your office desk is all these telephones, and sometimes they all ring at the same time. And you decide to throw out all the telephones except one. Just keep one, and the rest you throw away. You're going from diversity to unity. Those telephones represent all the different senses that you have, the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and knowing. And you're throwing them all out except just keeping one. In this particular case, just the feeling of your breath. You're throwing everything else out. Just like you're going up in this balloon, in this basket, you're throwing it out. Everything except just one thing, the breath. That's all you're carrying with you. And that means you go higher. You get more peaceful. And then you start even throwing out more things. But at that time, what happens, you get to some stages of meditation. You may be watching the breath, but you're not going any further. You know, you feel like you're plateauing. It's okay, but it's not deep. It's not really peaceful, beautiful yet. So your next thing to do is to see, check in your mind, what are you holding on to? Is there anything else in there you can throw out of your basket? Anything else you can empty out? And if you do, you find something, you throw that out, you immediately feel the mind gets deeper and more peaceful. This is one of the things which I do when I meditate. You start meditating, you get into reasonably deep states of mind. If you can't go further, what am I holding on to? What am I carrying around in my basket which is unnecessary? And once you see that, you throw it out, and straight away, it's almost as soon as you see it, you can let go of it, and it goes further. Because one of the things which you find you have to empty out is expectation. Because as you go deeper in meditation, sometimes we get this expectation, oh, it's going to be working now, it's going to happen. And those of you who have read some of the details of what happens in deep meditation, you know, things like nimittas and bliss and even jhanas, sometimes that expectation is that burden, the thing which you're not emptying out of your mind, which causes you to stop going further. So if you see expectation in your basket, you throw it out every time. So you're not looking even to the next moment. You're just staying with this moment you have now, being more fully where you already are, not moving. You're throwing out, emptying out that which causes all movement in your mind. You're learning how to be truly still. Because the result of emptiness is this beautiful stillness of the mind. You've emptied out all your burdens. You've risen high into the stratosphere of meditation. And up there, it's so still, so quiet. The other advantage of that simile is the higher you go, the further you can see. And see for miles the landscape underneath. We call that the insight. Seeing the bigger picture, the landscape, the territory of your life, laid out in a huge map beneath you. The higher you go, only because you carry less things, the more you see. So you can take that idea of emptiness to use it for the beginning stages, to know you're emptying one thing, the most difficult things first, and then later on the more refined things, little by little. Whenever you get stuck, what can I empty out now? Remembering this is a mind which empties out all these burdens and baggages which sometimes we think is so important. And then, when you can go no further, see what else you can empty out. See what else you can empty. See what else. And that way you go deeper and deeper until you've hardly got anything left at all. Just the mindfulness being absolutely still. And mindfulness which is still grows in power. This is here where the bliss and the beautiful stuff of meditation comes from. The mindfulness which doesn't carry anything, which just rises and rises and rises. So I call emptying the mind, gradually. Is there any comments or questions about that? Okay, so we're going to go now. Start our meditation. For those of you who've been sitting down a while and you want to sort of stand up or just stretch your legs to get yourselves comfortable again, please do so. And again, just again, that this is the class for the ongoing meditation. If you come for the introduction to meditation class, that is being held in a room to my right between here and the reception area. Because in this class, it's for people who've meditated before, know what they're doing, so that we can sit for 40, 45 minutes without too much difficulty. Okay, so here we go. So if you'd like to get yourselves comfortable, close your eyes and we begin the meditation now. Close your eyes. Before we lock up our car, our body, got to make sure everything is in order. So really check your body, as best you possibly can, making sure you're in the optimum possible posture. Just relaxing the body by spending time with it. Caring for this body. Adjusting any part of it, if that's what it needs. When the body is relaxed, you can let it go, imagining yourself in that balloon and emptying out that baggage, saying, I've looked after you, body, now I'm going to lock you up, put the alarm on, and walk away. As you start being more concerned about the quality of your mind, what's it doing now? Is it starting to linger on the past, what happened earlier? Start projecting onto the future. Remember, those are burdens which are unnecessary, on a journey of meditation. It is the memories and thoughts of the past and the worries about the future which hold you down, which stop you rising into the peace, into the happiness of deep meditation. So recognize these things, the past and the future, as burdens, as useless weights, and toss them out in your mind any time you see the past or the future coming up. Toss it out. And you'll notice that as you reject all the past and all the future, you empty your mind of those things. It's as if your balloon, your meditation, rises higher. It takes time. There's many parts of the past and the future which you have to keep discovering and throwing out, which keep coming back, and you throw them out again. Because once the past and the future are gone, all you're left with is the present moment, the beautiful, powerful now. emptying the mind out, the past and the future, and seeing if you can empty the mind out of thinking. No names, no descriptions. So the mind can soar, rise even higher. to go higher. See what else you can throw out of your mind. How much more you can empty. Feeling close to the end of the meditation now. How do you feel? How much have you emptied out? And what's it like to be free? To be holding few attachments in this moment? What does peace feel like as you reflect on the quality of your mind at the end of 45 minutes meditation? I'll now ring the gong 3 times to end the meditation. Please listen to every sound from the gong. And when the last ringing disappears, open your eyes to come out for the meditation. Okay, so with that little bit of emptiness aspect to the meditation, if you were meditating and couldn't let these things go, you couldn't empty them out. The reason is that there is, that's what we call the attachments. Strange thing that we know that it's in our interest to let these things go, to abandon them, to not be concerned about them for this time being. But it's that attaching mind which refuses to allow these things to disappear. And this is where we have to investigate, why are we attaching to these things? For those of you who want to go very deeply into the idea of attachment, sometimes it's not the things you're attached to, it's just this sense of me and the self who wants to own and control the world. Always look at the attaching, not from the objects you attach to, but the one who does the attaching. And it's a sticky mind, a sticky ego, a sticky self, which always wants to go out and add things to itself, rather than let things go. Teacher Ajahn Chah used to say, we meditate not to get things, not to attain things, that's just more sticky stuff we add to ourselves. We meditate to let things go. To abandon things, to empty our mind, not to fill it up. Understanding that whole movement of meditation, you understand the path, you know, to freedom, to liberation. When you see yourself attaching to something, contemplate it after the meditation. Why did I have to think about that? Nothing to do with me. All that thinking in the world, does it really help? Does it really solve any problems or add to my happiness and success? And you find that it doesn't. And every time you contemplate like that, it's weakening the hold of the attachments through questioning their validity and their usefulness. And little by little, we can learn how to detach from these things. Many people who come across the Buddhist idea of detachment think that, oh, that means you have to give up everything forever. But that's not so. The idea of emptying the mind and detaching is means the ability to let these things go whenever you want. So in meditation, you'll put them down again. And after you come up out of meditation, you can pick up your duties again. sign of detachment is not that you're afraid to pick up those things, but you can put them down, pick them up, put them down, pick them up, put them down, whenever it's the right time and place. Understanding that, you know just how you can empty the mind whenever you want, to take a rest, to take a break. Sometimes I call meditation like lunchtime. You go to work, you used to have an hour, maybe half an hour. If you're an executive, maybe 2 hours for your lunch break. But lunch break was supposed to be a time where you just relax and didn't do any work. You didn't sort of have your sandwiches in front of the computer screen. You went to some cafe restaurant and had time out. That old idea of lunch break is what meditation is like. Having a break from the work of your life, from the things you have to solve, the problems which are unfinished, all that busyness we can detach from and empty out of our mind. Even the most pressing concerns, the life and death issues, you can even put those down for a while and just rest and relax and take it up afterwards. Perhaps that's why one of my favourite stories from a friend of mine who was a monk with me in the early years in Thailand, that this man, I must admit, he became a monk, but before he was actually a drug smuggler. Unfortunately, he was successful. He never got caught. But now he retired to the town of Luang Prabang in Laos. This is before the communists took over. And he was there during the takeover, and he was respected by the Laos, but he said that during the height of that war between the royalists, the government troops, and the Petet Lao, the communists, he was in a restaurant in Luang Prabang. You call it a restaurant, but it was like just a shack, a bamboo and thatch shack, which served very delicious Laotian food. He was at his table having his lunch. He noticed at another table there were the government troops. Their guns were against the wall. They were having their lunch too. And when he noticed the communist troops come in with their guns, he wanted to dive under the table. This was war. But the communist troops just went to another table, put their guns against the wall, and then had their lunch. This is a true story. So in Laos, during that part of the Vietnam War, lunchtime was more important than fighting. And if anyone ever knows the Laotian people, that is true to character. So they had a real lunch break, and they're supposed to be at war, fighting each other. And then government on that side, communists on the other side. You know, I don't know, they must have an agreement. Whoever leaves first, we'll give you 10 minutes. But if they can let these things go, because lunch is more important, maybe because that's, you know, their maybe Buddhist upbringing as kids before they join the army. But certainly, maybe that can be your way of dealing with these problems. You have your wars in life, you have to fight. But isn't it nice to be able to pull all of that past, your guns against the wall, put them aside for a while, and just have lunch and enjoy your lunch? We can fight war 1 o'clock. And that's certainly what we can do in our meditation. After the meditation is over. Now 4:15, okay, then we can think about all this busyness and stuff. But not now. See, you can actually let go of these things, even the so-called important life and death issues. This is how we can detach. And that's the only way we'll ever give ourselves a bit of peace and quiet. Because you'll never get all your problems solved. You never get all the business of life out of the way until you die. So the only way we can get that peace, that bit of emptiness, is to realize it can be done. Why not? And have the courage to start emptying things out of the mind. One by one. You can't just empty the mind out all at once. Gradually, stage by stage. And the great thing about this is the mindfulness is there, it gets stronger. And it realizes just the beauty of emptiness. Sometimes people are scared of emptiness, afraid, simply because they don't know what it's like. But as you get into emptiness gradually, slowly by slowly, slowly, you'll find it's nothing to be afraid of, but it's very beautiful and wonderful. The reason I say people are afraid of emptiness is because you're going to look on people's houses. Every empty space on the wall they want to fill up with something, put a picture. Every corner they want to put a pot plant. Every mountaintop they want to put a flag. Every empty desert they want to put a restaurant. Wherever it is, our human culture abhors emptiness. We want to fill it up with something. And you've got a corner of your garden, which is nice and empty. You want to put a pot plant there or something. Corner of your house, which is nice and empty. What do you want to do with it? Put something there. That's why in these Buddhist traditions, you see this room here, it's pretty empty. There's no pictures on the walls. There's no icons. Go to our monasteries, you go in the halls there, it's pretty empty. And that's symbolic. Simplicity, emptiness, nothing there. So it should resonate with the mind, which is just empty. Nothing there. Simple and peaceful. It's the way of meditation, of emptiness. You notice when you haven't got so much furniture in your house, it's much easier to clean. The more things you have, the more trouble you have keeping it spotless. So if you have an empty mind, it's much easier to keep it spotless. The more things you have in there, the more cleaning you have to do every day. So there's a few little similes for emptiness. Has anyone got any comments or questions about what we've been doing today? Yes, John. Yeah, that's one of the other strategies which I encourage people to do. Is, you know, if you try these strategies and it's not working, it's not biting, then one of the other strategies which really does work is to make peace with things. Whatever you're experiencing now, even the most gross of mental states, the most painful of physical states, if you can't do anything about it, as the old English saying goes, if you can't beat them, join them. So join with your crazy mind. Don't fight a war with it. Make peace with it. When you make peace with it, because you're not fighting it, you're not adding fuel to the fire. The very fact of making peace with this moment, rather than running away from it or trying to change it, is the karmic cause for peace in the future. I've often said that peace is the result of many moments of peace, just like a house is the result of many bricks being laid one after the other. So many moments of peace laid one after the other build up the house of peace, which is the deep meditations. So that's also a very useful strategy, making peace with every moment. But as you know, on these Saturday afternoons, I always try and come from different angle as best I can. There's not all that many angles you can come from. They're all about the same thing. To give a different little tool for meditation. Today was emptiness. Throwing things out. And especially that part where, flying high in a balloon, can't go higher. You must have something which you're carrying. Something which stops you rising higher. When you see that, and I just gave one example about expectation, because you're getting close, you're getting into some peaceful states of mind, this is going to get jhana soon. Yeah, you've blown it already. That little bit of expectation, you see that and just throw it out. You don't keep it. No expectation, no anticipation, no excitement, no worry. All these things, keep throwing them out. Because when you've got nothing in your basket, you're keeping nothing. That's when you go really high. Okay, that's the ball game for today. It's not really a ball game, that's mind game. That's not really a mind game, it's enlightenment game, emptiness game. So, it's not really a game at all, it's quite nice. So, we now can pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. For those of you who are coming to the Dharma class tomorrow afternoon, 3 to 4:15. That's where we do the Sutta class. I did have a request for the Sutta, so it's going to be the Dakana Vibhanga Sutta, which is number 142 in the Majjhima Nikaya. That's the Sutta tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 4:15. Because it's only the first Saturday, but tomorrow is the second Sunday. So it's the second and fourth Sundays we do the Sutta class. So that's Sutta number 142, the middle length sayings, Majjhima Nikaya 142, Dakana Vibhanga Sutta. Okay, so we can pay special board at Namasangha now.